Welcome to the Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas from world-famous CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business celebrities. You'll hear inspiring stories, playmaking ideas, and that one big thing that launched them on toward success. Get ready for the Playmakers Talk Show. Our host is Steve Klein, a renowned business author, keynote speaker, and master at helping clients reach peak performance through success skills, leadership, sales, and behavior change. He's helped generate quantum leaps for hundreds of companies. Now it's time to meet this week's Playmakers. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
It's Playmakers Talk Show time, and I'm Steve Klein. We have two Playmakers in the studio today. The first makes his living in architecture for senior living, and the other who specializes in social media. In the studio today is a principal of a firm that is involved with something called living architecture. And our other guest is the president of a company that focuses on social media. These great playmakers are Rocky Berg. Rocky is the principal of 3 Living Architecture. And Chris Conant, president of More Cabbage. And we're going to begin today's show with Rocky. Having practiced architecture and interior design for over 30 years, Rocky Berg is a master architect, bringing all his skills to bear from initial planning through the final punch list. While Rocky has worked across the globe and on many different project types, he has led 3's architectural group in the specialized design of senior living for over 15 years. 3 Living Architecture prides itself on the ability to design unique properties of lasting significance. The firm specializes in 4 and 5-star hotels, resorts, country clubs, spas, senior living, and high-rise residential accommodations. Rock is well-known throughout the senior living market. He's a requested speaker on developing trends and has been featured on NBC Nightly News. A leader and collaborator during the design process, Rocky articulates a passion for the mission of serving seniors through creative ideas and the fortitude to see them through. Rocky, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're here. Well, you've been in architecture almost all of your life. And how did you actually become, in your words from your bio, a sketching bandit?
Well, it all started as a small child. I loved to draw by pencil with crayons.
Did this just happen, or does someone put something in your hands and say draw?
I would just head out into the yard and start drawing trees and fences and old cars and artifacts. I'd go to old furniture stores and draw old furniture just to get the scale and the character of the pieces that I was drawing.
So nobody pushed you in this direction? It just
happened. In fact, when I would do sketches, my dad would say, you need to keep it, you know, straight and clean and in the lines. My sketches would be all over the place, and I'd do layover and layover and layover of the different sketches, and they would develop. And so I keep small sketchbooks. And, of course, when I travel, I'll take pictures, lots of pictures, but I take pictures with my mind as well and sketch.
Well, you're a very visual person, apparently, and you see something and you want to draw it or capture that.
Yeah, as an architect, the ability to portray an idea visually is key. And so when I sit with clients, when I sit with friends and we're talking about ideas, it could be a business idea, it could be an architectural object, the ability to sketch with them, in front of them, and lay out different ideas, sometimes upside down. And when I talk to my younger architects, while we have computers and all the aids to model projects, the ability to dialogue visually and verbally with a client, that's what it's really all about. That's where the excitement comes to life.
I admire that. I am not a visual person. I can look at something and say, yes, I know that is exactly, that's what I want.
Well, that's my job.
I don't know how to get there. So you're the one that knows how to get there. Right. I could never be in architectural design because in my mind, that idea might be there. I don't know how to express that. Yours is an expression. Well, you grew up in Richardson and you've, for all intents and purposes, been in architecture all your life because you started drafting in architecture in high school for 3 years. And that's where it says you were a sketching bandit. So you have been doing this your life.
Even in high school, I took drafting and architectural classes, and I had at Richardson High School, Max McLaren was our teacher. Max would walk the tables and with a triangular ruler direct us and correct us in our drawing techniques. So I started with basic orthographic drawing, and that proceeded into architecture. And then with architecture, it's such a versatile discipline of engineering, art, and just the ability to build buildings for people, knowing psychology of people. it's a very diversified, you know, process and training.
What moved you into urban design?
I really wanted to understand the full fabric of when I'm putting architectural objects within a cityscape, that I really understand how they relate to the overall community, the overall fabric of an area. So the ability to study that, analyze it, and then synergize architecture within other pieces in a collaborative way, that's the way I like to approach it. It's a contextual process in architecture.
We're going to talk about Rocky's company, which is living three living architecture, and his website is threearch.com, arch
yes,
for architecture, threearch.com if you want to check it. But you did a thesis on passive solar earth sheltered wilderness in El Paso. Tell me about that.
Yes, as part of the curriculum, I went to Texas Tech University. And part of the curriculum is doing a thesis. And my thesis for this passive solar earth-sheltered wilderness museum was to be centered in the hillside of the old Kastner ballistics range. So it was a unique project where I considered a lot of solutions from a conservation perspective, but also enhancing that wilderness. But it really it put a foothold for me for what today everybody thinks of as green or sustainable architecture. So it's been just a natural passion of mine, and it's a growing part of what we do every day in our architecture. It's really a green before green was green.
As I read about that and thought about that, it reminded me of I guess he was an architect, that I wrote about when I was in college. I took urban studies when I was in high school, and I wrote a report on him. And he was so interesting, I was able to submit the same report to five other classes in high school and college and got A's in all of them. Paolo Soleri.
Oh, yes.
Paolo Soleri.
Yes.
I actually met him. I was in outside Phoenix at Arcosante.
Right.
Actually, Cosante, which is in town. But I went to both of them. Most people don't know who Paolo Soleri is. Did you study much about him as you were going
through
school?
I did. I spent a couple weeks on site there. I have a couple of his bells.
And Arcosante?
yes. So he was part of our undergrad program. I spent a little bit of time out there in the summertime. So as a learning architect, I worked in a design office while in school. And then I worked for contractors in the summertime. So physically putting buildings together and exploring how architecture comes together. So.
For those who don't know who Paolo Soleri is, he has Arcosante, which is north of Phoenix. You have to drive out a few miles to get there. It's almost in the middle of nowhere.
It's almost communal.
It is, right, because there are people living there.
Yes.
And they're designing a master urban development, which, and I've seen the plans. It's
very
nowhere
organic.
Near
mm-hmm.
where he wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Very organic, and they make bells, mm-hmm. and he sells them, I guess, at Cosante, which is in Phoenix, outside of in one of the suburbs.
Yeah, just one of many ways to kind of he fuel his design aspects.
Interesting man. He's got to be well into his 80s now,
yes,
if not 90.
Yeah, I think older, yes.
Interesting development. Let's talk about your company, which is Three Living Architecture. How long have you been – how long has the company been around? How long have you been there?
Our practice is 30 years old. Just recently, we turned 30. It started really on the beginning, the inception of the Peninsula Hotel out in Beverly Hills. Gary Kerner founded the firm. And really off of that project, we've had invitations to do multiple luxury properties. But really, we were at the front end of boutique hospitality, you know, the projects that we think of really upscale boutique properties. So that's allowed us to do those types of properties as well as resort properties around the world.
Rocky is the principal of Three Living Architecture, which he was talking about, and his specialty is in the senior living area, which we're going to talk about. I'm Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Don't leave us. We're going to find out more about what seniors will be doing and how they'll be living when we come back right after this.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that Love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House, we say there is strength in numbers, and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Ellen Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small, exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And thank you for staying with us. This is Playmakers Talk Show, and we are speaking with Rocky Berg. Rocky is the principal of 3 Living Architecture, and the website is 3arch.com. You can check out what they've done. We were talking at the break about what 3 Living Architecture has done, and tell us about, you said 2 of the properties are number one hotels in the world according to Travel and Leisure.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. These 2 properties have been recognized in the past, but both of them are recognized as number one in the world. The Peninsula out in Beverly Hills, which was really that founding project for our firm, and then Rosewood Mayacoba down in Mexico, a resort property. Very unique properties, again, boutique in nature, uniquely crafted and tailored for where they are, and we continue to do more and more work in and around those properties.
Well, congratulations. I'm looking at the philosophy for your firm. It says, our mission is to transform lives through design that lifts the human spirit, the lives of our development partners, and the guests alike. So is that what you put into it as you're developing your properties?
We do. We take a very tailored approach with every piece of architecture that we're working with. These are all custom pieces. There's really no prototypical work in it that we do. And the process, a lot of times we're working with developers or operators who are very experienced. They've done it many times. And they're almost sometimes caught in their own momentum. But our process really helps them kind of rethink where they want to go with these unique properties. And so it is a transformative process because I find time and time again they're attracted to return to us when they look at new ventures, but they like the opportunity to grow their ideas about serving others, whether it's a hospitality, whether it's senior living, or whether it's luxury residential.
Well, those are some of the areas, as Rocky just mentioned, that 3 Living Architecture is involved with. But your specialty is in senior living, and let's talk about that. But how did you get into that genre of architecture?
Well, it's one. Great family, great grandparents have always had an affinity for seniors, you know, in so many ways, church and otherwise. But by invitation, we had a client called Telesis. They're here in Dallas. Steve and John both liked what we did in the boutique hospitality world. And while they were experienced operators, they knew they wanted to incorporate more hospitality in their design for a property up on Signature Place. So with that invitation, we cut our teeth entering the senior living market. We learned a lot. It was a 360 turn where we might be talking about how to design the bathroom. The next minute we're talking about how to manage the floodplain with these clients. So it was a very micro, macro kind of experience with them. But since then, we've had the opportunity to do 20 or 30, well, now it's 22 projects that have been constructed in senior living, over $500 million worth of construction. That's significant. And we've worked, we tend to work the South, coast to coast, where it's hot, humid, hurricane environments where you really want to protect mom and dad with great living environments. The senior communities of today have really, really changed. They're resort properties many times. They're inclusive in the way they reach out into the larger community. Architectural design, they're five-star accommodations.
Well, you mentioned this as being a life change in your life, and you said in the South, but you also mentioned that you're in China and the Philippines, so you do a lot of work outside the United States also.
Yeah, the opportunity to design in China, it's different culturally. They're going through a change where they are adopting, in some ways, many of the Western attributes of family life. Also in the Philippines, we're working on the old Clark Air Force Base and doing community there. These ideas, they help us change the way we think about living. In China in particular, our communities are a little bit more communal. So it's interesting how we can embrace those ideas. And we've been doing that for the 30 years. We've worked overseas for 30 years.
We were talking before the show started about senior living and the baby boomers, of which I'm a member. And everybody is moving toward that, if not in retirement, thinking about retirement, as their parents are too. So I would think this is one of the growth areas in architecture. Is that correct?
Yes, I think of it as the gray tsunami. It's definitely building, and our communities that we're designing is really, we're looking at how to bridge the greatest generation, which is on the doorstep today, and what their expectations are to what the boomers are expecting. And of course, as we're having this conversation with today's clients, usually it's the baby boomer children who are talking with us and with their parents. So we learn a lot through our hospitality design, our residential design, all that speaks to our senior living design.
Again, Rock is with 3 Living Architecture, and the website is 3arch.com, arch for architecture. You can check out what they're doing. You travel to Australia in the late 80s for a couple of years. So you were down under, and how did that change your approach to architecture?
She'll be right, mate. Yes, I had a great time down under, so to speak. Went there for 2 weeks to work on a high-rise office building and hotel project. The project progressed, and so 3 years later, I was there watching them finish construction on it. So I lived practically on site with a great client where we had done numerous projects for them before, but they said, we really have to have you here on site. This was a property that was on the National Trust, an old historic banking chamber, so we had to be sure that we preserved it, built over it, a beautiful project called Collins Exchange.
It must have been interesting living in a different society, different way of living for, you said, 3 years? Starting for 2 weeks and living there for 3 years, that must have really – did that shape the way you look at architecture being in another area, especially in addition to the Philippines and China?
Well, when I was there in Australia, what I saw and what I experienced was, one, we had a lot of common affinity with the Australians. So there was – as a Texan, so to speak, yes, there's a lot of common ground there for us and American Australia. But also what I saw was at that time – this was the late 80s – how small the world was. I had that appreciation of living there and seeing the technology allow us to communicate overnight. And if you think back in the 80s, how that fax machines and those kind of tools were what we were using. We weren't using a lot of computer work. So I saw the ability to communicate. I was traveling pretty frequently, but I saw how small the world was getting in that effort. they were embracing what we were doing here in the States, and they wanted really to have the state-of-the-art product there in Australia, and that's why they were attracted to us as architects.
Well, as a principal in an architectural firm that's doing some interesting things, what would you advise to any of the listeners as far as what they should do to be successful?
Well, I think this is said time and time again, but you attract people who are really, really solid around you to support you. You try to put those people, identify their gifts, and make sure that they're spending the majority of their efforts and times towards applying their gifts. You want to train and grow them, but it's really about growing and leveraging those gifts around you. And then really it's about pursuing quality every day with the product that we produce, and that's at many levels. And then our group, we really look to change people for the better in the process. We think about who we're working with day in and day out, as well as the end user, the clients, the guests, the residents of our properties. It's a very personal process for us.
And so, it's interesting when you're saying that. I wouldn't have understood what you were talking about as much if I hadn't studied Paolo Soleri in terms of what he's doing. Now, he's off to an extreme with what he's doing, but I understood how architecture and the environment tie together, and that's what you're doing, and you're bringing people involved with that too.
True. Yeah, it's really all about people. It's all about experiences. That's the way we think about what we do. While it may be bricks and mortars to most people, we think about the experiences that are going to happen within our spaces, and we almost pre-choreograph them through our architecture. And that's all supported with lighting and acoustics, food, music, all sorts of amenities.
So as we come to a conclusion and wrap up, you have been drawing, you've been at least tied in with architecture in some ways since you probably could hold something in your hand and draw. Where does 3 Living Architecture and Rocky Burg go from here?
We're looking at more and more opportunities to diversify what we do within our specialization. I mean, we are very focused on living architecture, and so that's residentially minded. It takes into account hospitality services and the capabilities and needs of seniors. So we're looking at diversifying within that. We're working with the Lighthouse for the Blind right now. That's helping us learn more about how to work with the sight impaired and how that might affect seniors and their ability to live within our communities. We're going through more and more training programs through the University of North Texas with their CASP program. So our architects are personally investing themselves in becoming stronger, more capable visionaries for senior living, of course, hospitality, and residential design.
Thank you, Rocky. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Rocky Burg, he is the principal at 3 Living Architecture, and you can check their website out at 3, that's the spell out 3, T-H-R-E-E, architecture, A-R-C-H.com, 3ARCH.com. You can check out what they're doing. Stay with us. We are not done yet. We have another guest, and we're going to be talking about social media PR and find out more specifically what that is with Chris Konat. He'll be joining us after the break. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Their names are Adrian and Anna, Cameron and Colin, Jacob and Logan, Margaret and Olivia, ages 4 to 12. They are part of a very small exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They have all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. In fact, every year, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer," which is why Wipe Out Kids Cancer was formed over 30 years ago. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. You can help by visiting WOKC.org. We are a local organization helping families cope and supporting researchers to find cures. Learn more at WOKC.org. Help us help them.
Kick off another action-packed Mavs season at Mavs Toberfest, Friday, October 4th at the AAC. Doors open at 4 p.m. Parking is only $5 and admission is free. See your Dallas Mavericks hit the court, get autographs, and arrive early and play with the Dr. Pepper Hoop Troop. Your chance to get up close and personal with your Dallas Mavericks Friday, October 4th at the AAC. It's Mavs Toberfest.
One day closer to a shutdown of the federal government. The House passed a measure keeping the government funded through mid-December, but delays the Affordable Care Act for a year. It's going nowhere in the Senate, which doesn't convene until tomorrow afternoon. Missouri Republican Ann Wagner.
Unlock those doors, I say to Harry Reid, and come out and do your job. The Senate must ask. They must act.
The last time there was a partial government shutdown was 1996, when Bill Clinton was president.
There's nothing to negotiate with. He shouldn't delay the health care bill. It's the law, and we're opening the enrollment on October 1st. So I think that's a non-starter.
Mr. Clinton speaking on ABC's This Week broadcast. Milwaukee-based Garden Fresh Foods is recalling 9.5 tons of ready-to-eat chicken and ham salads. Possible listeria contamination. The product sold under several names, including Market Pantry and Archer Farms. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication. A $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company is priced $21 a month.
Call 1-800-914-2995 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-914-2995. 1-800-914-2995. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free two-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision-making or problem-solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free two-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
Go on, sweetie. Jump to Dad.
I'm not sure, Daddy. The water's cool.
There are moments in life that cause us to hesitate.
Jump right here.
Okay. Here I come.
I got you. Good job.
I did it. That was fun.
But once we take action, we're really glad that we did. If you're thinking about selling your home, don't hesitate. Interest rates are low and buyers are in the market. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today and visit Realtor.com. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. Again, I'm Steve Klein, and you are listening to Playmakers Talk Show. Our second guest is Chris Conant. Chris is the president of More Cabbage, morecabbage.com, a social media PR firm in Cedar Hill. More Cabbage serves national clientele such as Hogue Hospital, Wells Fargo, UCLA Anderson School of Business, Synergy CT, and Flatiron Construction Corp. with social media PR branding, website, video, and relationship marketing needs. We'll have a lot to talk about with Chris in a moment. During his career, Chris has completed over 800 branding and PR projects. He has consulted internationally for IOM, British Rail, and the International Bank of Thailand. He is also co-author of Resurrection Monday and his latest soon-to-be-released book, The Seed Emp Tour. Chris, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
First question I need to ask, because a lot of listeners are probably wondering what social PR is. Tell us about that and how your firm moved in that direction.
Well, social PR is really, it's a birthed out of an idea that is not old, and it's that people do business with people that they know, they like, they trust, and connect with. So it makes perfect sense that if we're online and connecting with people in social media, we should be in relationship with them. So the idea behind that is to look at, or maybe compare, companies who are doing social media right now. It might be, you know, a little bit of work in Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn, et cetera. But the complaint that I hear a lot is that it's just dabbling. They're just dabbling in it. They don't really know what they're doing. They don't really have a strategy about it. And when one takes a look at that, this is really a function of relationships, then it makes perfect sense that one would tack PR onto the end and go, this is the answer here, is moving down a path of building relationships for businesses.
So what you're doing is you're working with businesses to help them tap into social media to use that to attract people to their website and or their firm.
Yeah, and I think what we're also supplying, because social PR is a multifaceted sort of idea, because it's a communication function, there are a lot of outcomes. It is developing business leads and sales. It could be finding the right talent for you know through HR. It could be in fact you know, finding it or using it in a way that you can measure you know, certain ideas or get some feedback or attract competition. And there's just so many things that social media can do.
From knowing what I know about social media and the businesses I work with, there's a lot of businesses that think, well, I'll put a website out and I'll get a lot of business. I'll attract it. Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. And obviously you understand that, can work with them to help them find the right people to go to their website, help them attract them. And I'm guessing that's what you do, is you're developing that and also tying them in a way that they're attracted, the customers are attracted to them. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, it's a big part of it. But I would also say that every company could use social PR. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, if I would go back in business history, there's probably a point where marketing managers weren't on the scene and then suddenly they appeared in business. Well, we're kind of at that point in business history where social PR managers are kind of coming on, or social media managers. And the reason is because it is a method or a preferred platform that people want to communicate on. So by choosing to not communicate with them is basically like not answering your customer service phone or something like that. You know, you want to engage with people. And if that's the preferred method that they have to communicate with you, then you need to be there.
Basically, what you're saying is there's all these different methods. There's telephone, there's email, and social media is one of them. And you need to be there to answer that phone, that line, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly the online way of doing it. And, you know, the best way I can describe it is that, you know, kind of an old school way is that if you ask me for a coupon for Target, for example, I might think of a paper coupon. But in an online space, someone would want a code that they could put into a website. And that's their definition of a coupon. I would add, though, that that's primarily a social media-oriented person. But where social media PR comes in is it says that not everybody is purely online. We use kind of a mix of all those things that you just mentioned, from telephone to online social sites to search engines to how about being in person at a networking event. All of those lead to a communication experience that we have and drawing closer to people in relationship and business.
Interesting, interesting area you're in. For those listening, if you'd like to check out what Chris does, it's morecabbage.com. You won't forget the name of that website or his company, morecabbage.com, and you'll find out about it. What I thought was interesting is that you have training for your clients too, depending on the size of the business. Tell us about how you can help develop your clients with the training you have available.
Sure, and I'll answer it this way, is that, you know, really a core function of what we do is help clients identify a seed emptor, which we'll probably talk about in just a little bit. But as part of that, it involves understanding what a seed emptor is, why we would be going after them, how we would use social media to do that. And that's something that our company would be doing for them. But there's a certain point where in relationship, as you're developing a relationship or a friendship with someone, you need to turn that relationship over to the client to finish a sale or to do something with it, with that relationship. And if the client isn't trained in social media or just doesn't know how to handle that kind of request or response, then number one, their efforts are not getting multiplied. And number two, that customer may not get serviced the right way because the person just doesn't know how to, you know, use social media in the way that this person wants to be communicated with.
I would think that what you're doing is really the cutting edge, because social media has only been with us, what, less than 10 years? Is that correct? At least as we know it today. And there's a lot of businesses that really don't understand how to communicate with those people. I can put my website out there. I can have a landing page. I can have something to entice these people. But you're helping them understand what to do once they get these leads and how to handle them.
Yeah, and we're also saying that, you know, the website itself isn't necessarily the place anymore. I mean, we tell a lot of our clients, maybe don't spend so much time trying to invest in dominating your little corner of the internet, because business happens everywhere. And I think a lot of us have had experiences where it's been in a coffee shop or, you know, in other places. And I think that it's a thought to recognize that when you're actually going after that kind of a business, it can really be in any kind of an environment.
It sounds as you're speaking that you spend a lot of time doing some consulting with these clients to find out where across the vast social media they need to be, who they need to be looking for, and what they need to do once they find these new prospects and leads. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the most part. And I think you really keyed in on who are they looking for. Because I think one of the challenges in the social media space is trying to figure out how to justify things with a return on investment. Everyone's wondering, okay, so I'm going to spend some money on this. Where am I going to see the return? And I had a CPA friend recently, we were talking, and he said, you know, Chris, it just comes down to some people need to invest in the liability before it becomes an asset. And it made some sense to me, because as I look around at a company, I see a conference table and chairs and a phone sitting there, and I think, you know, is anyone asking what the ROI of those things are? Because at the end of the day, those are all tools that were necessary to build the relationships that caused the business to happen. And I think in a lot of ways, that's one way to look at social media, is that there is sort of an upfront investment. But once you get past that, you have to look at who are you going after. And that is a really key component of building a social media program that's going to have some success for you. Because if you're just tweeting or Facebooking or going into LinkedIn, a lot of the complaints that I hear and what I see is that you're just sort of talking to the air. And there's an incredible amount of media waste. And while their analytics can happen and you can kind of hone in a little bit, I want to tell you the most success that we've been having is using social media to go after that one-on-one person, that most ideal, perfect relationship of someone that has a real high value to business index or something, you know?
It sounds like you're taking social media away from throwing it up against the wall and seeing what sticks, to target marketing exactly what that business is looking for.
Yeah, or maybe a better way to say it is we're taking good old-fashioned relationships and using social media to help us get there.
That's a great point to stop on and talk about when we come back. We're also going to talk about the Seed Emptor, which Chris mentioned, when we come back too. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. We are speaking with Chris Konak. Chris is the president of More Cabbage. MoreCabbage.com is their website. And we'll be back right after this. You can check their website out while we're listening to these. Be right back.
Imagine being 6 years old and confined to a wheelchair. Imagine being 50 years old with a medical condition that can't be fixed with medication. Now, imagine the same individuals enjoying a special place to ride a horse, go for a swim, or fly down a zip line. No barriers. No one stares at your disability. The no's turn into yeses. Since 1947, Camp Summit has offered a unique program which offers campers a wide variety of traditional camp activities at a facility that allows even a person in a wheelchair to ride a horse or go down a zip line. Your financial gifts help bring the camp experience to those special individuals. Help turn the no's into yeses by donating whatever you can to Camp Summit through a link on the Camp Summit website. Visit campsummittx.org. That's campsummittx.org for more information. Or call 972-484-8900. That's 972-484-8900.
Be honest. Will owning a bigger TV help you get ahead in life? Will another pair of shoes make you a better person? Probably not. But what if you could speak another language? If acquiring a new language excites you more than acquiring more stuff, then wait until you hear this. As part of its biggest language learning event in history, Rosetta Stone is giving away demos of its powerful language learning software absolutely free. For your free demo, call 1-800-441-1454.
And Rosetta Stone has made language learning more convenient than ever. Learn on your computer or iPad, then practice on the go with your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing boring vocabulary again. Do you want more stuff, or do you want a language that will last a lifetime? After all, it's all about priorities. To try a free demo of this powerful language learning software, call 1-800-441-1454. Again, get your free demo now. 1-800-441-1454. That's 1-800-441-1454.
I'm Jill Kumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
I'm Lars David Staberg, general manager for Lowry's The Prime Rib. Our Allen's Sandwich Bar has become the go-to spot for quiet working lunches. There we offer hand-carved sandwiches and more in a relaxed, club-like atmosphere. And for meetings, Lowry's private rooms are available for both lunch and dinner. So join us for the award-winning food, distinctive style, and unmatched hospitality that has made Lowry's famous. For more information, call Lowry's at 972-503-6688.
We're back with the Playmakers Talk Show for business owners and self-employed professionals. Once again, here's Steve Klein.
And welcome back. This is Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein. We're speaking with Chris Conant. Chris is the president of More Cabbage. His website is morecabbage.com. And we are talking about social media PR, which is what he does. And one of the things he mentioned in our previous segment, which he is writing a book on, is the Seed mTOR. Tell us about that. That sounds interesting.
Well, let me define it by saying when you talk about a seed emptor, the word emptor means a buyer or a purchaser, and it's kind of a legal term. And the word seed is one of our more cabbage words that we toss around that has to do with maybe the beginning of a buyer. Or also I think it's a good metaphor for the idea of a relationship where you have to nurture it and it grows over time and those kinds of things. So we started practicing this a couple years ago, and we landed on this amazing discovery in social, is that a lot of people were putting material out there, information on themselves, tagging other people in photos, and we were finding ourselves collecting an incredible amount of intelligence on people. And that gave us the insight to say, you know what, there are principles in sociology that have to do with the way that people want to do business with each other. And it comes down to trust. Ken Blanchard is a great name in our industry who writes books on the topic, et cetera.
One-minute manager of one of many.
Yeah, but he wrote a book on trust works. And I think that's it's a good play on just talking about how trust in the workplace makes a lot of sense. Now, just taking it to a business setting or a social media setting, it's important that we understand that we can't make people trust us, but we can create an environment for it. And what we've done in social PR is we've said, you know, let's look at the principles of sociology and what it takes to earn someone's trust. And, you know, we found about four or five principles that are there. One, for example, is building common ground. Okay. And just to use that as one example, let's use social media to help us build common ground. Well, it's pretty easy to find stuff on people that we can easily associate with, and we'll use that in a tracking way to just sort of start to build a relationship with someone. Now, the relationship has to be a true friendship, because if you're just building it to manipulate them, that doesn't make sense, and it's not very fun, and it's not a company that I want to build.
And they're probably going to recognize that quickly if you're doing that.
Absolutely. So all my staff, and I think our uniqueness is that I'm telling our group, and they agree, is that we have to be willing to make friends with people just for the simple fact that they're human beings and that we love them and they're, you know, we can care for them. And it's just fun to have friends in business. And for that reason, it allows us to go out and start to build this network of trust with people. Now, that's just one point of how we might grow trust with a seed emptor. The question is, though, who are we going after? Well, you know, we have a client who's in the credit card processing space. And we asked them, who's your ideal client? And they said, we love auto repair shops because they're immediate charges, usually high dollar, and they're always on the credit card. And we said, so who's your seat emptor? And they said, well, obviously the automotive repair shops. And we said, no, it's not. It's the guy who knows all of those automotive repair shops. How about the president of the Automotive Services Association? What if we went after him and built a relationship? And then say it took 4 or 5 months. And then at that point, using social media, we were able to discover some things. We were able to open up a what we call a trust construct, which means that we've built this environment for trust. And then eventually they come to a point where we've invested in them to a point where they say, you know, yeah, we're go ahead and introduce your friend to us. We'd love to connect with them. And that is where we're having all of our wins. That's where all of our ROI is happening right now. And it's coming back to those who may not be in social media. They certainly understand these principles. And they say, yeah, we can get behind social media now because we understand if it's used in this kind of a way, it's something that we've known all along. And it's how we've run our businesses based on relationship.
You're going back to ideas that have been around for centuries. If I introduce you to somebody that's a good friend of mine and I trust and I get you together and I let you know more about each other, there's a good chance that you're going to possibly do business with that person. This is what networking is all about. This has been around. No one called it networking 50 years ago, but this is what it's all about. You are now taking it to another level using social media in the right way.
Yes.
To connect people together. Maybe not going from what you described, you're not going in the front door of the house. It sounds like you're maybe coming through the side door to find out those people who can lead you to additional people that can help your business.
I think we're taking it in a very genuine, natural, organic way, and it works because of that. And I would even add that there's a concept back from the 1910s. It's called social capital theory. You've heard of financial capital or human capital. Well, there's also social capital. And that is that there is an economic value in your social network. We've all talked about this. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, there's value in that. And I think that we've tapped into how to do that. And what the seat emptor is for us is not only a person, but it's also a concept. It's also a software where we track these relationships, and so we're using that centuries old ideas, but we're applying it to using it in a modern kind of space, and it's working great.
I've talked to book publishers who will advance money to writers based on how many people are in their network of in social media. If they have 20 to 50,000 people, they'll give them a lot of money. They also know a lot of books are going to be sold because they have those people, basically a downline of people. Whether that's true or not, the more people we know and how we know them and how they're attracted to us is going to develop into more business. And yes, there's that's an asset we have for our business. It sounds like you are marketing or farming that for that client.
That's right. And so where the training component comes in is imagine if we're going after about 3 or 4 of these real ideal seat emptors, what if we can multiply that inside the organization? What if we can train about 3 other people inside your group to do the same thing?
The word I'm looking for, arithmetically, I mean, it just starts spreading out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these people are drawing business to you.
That's right.
And use social media to get that.
Yeah. And they're drawing business to themselves too, right? Because ultimately, it's about getting to know that right person.
Chris Conant is the president of More Cabbage. You can check his website. A lot of interesting things on the website, which is morecabbage.com. But he has also written another book, and this is outside of his social PR. And I want to hear about this because he put this in his bio, and it's something that's very important. And that's another book you wrote, which is Resurrection Monday. Tell us about that and how that came to be.
Well, I actually co-wrote the book with my wife. It's our story, and I think it's important to mention certainly on air because if you see me online, you'll also see Resurrection Monday too. My wife had been diagnosed with MS in 2003. She was a partner in our company, and about 5 to 6 years went by, and she went from this very athletic, outgoing person to someone who was just really ended up getting debilitated by the disease. And it was very severe, a loss of function and all kinds of things. And she landed herself in a wheelchair. And this was a very depressing time. It was a very hard time and a time where I think in Nancy's mind, she just started listening to those negative voices that would say you're a burden to the family. And in 2009, she took her life just because she couldn't stand it anymore. And she just felt like, I would much rather be with Jesus in heaven, you know, than to be down here suffering like this. And in some respects, I can understand, but it was powerful. Well, what was amazing and miraculous is the next day she was found, revived, alive, with incredibly just a minimal amount of medical intervention. But what had happened was she had, I was told by doctors that she had taken enough pills to kill three men. And it just, it was so powerful for us to hear that this is something that God was going to do in our life, which is to bring her back. And so we've basically had this moment where what we thought was very final ended up becoming something where God removed those voices from her head. He healed her. She's now out of a wheelchair, and she was given a gift of painting prolifically. And since then, she has gone on to just really have a lot of success in her life and her health and her artwork. And we just couldn't help after a few years but to put the story down in book form. And that's why we call it Resurrection Monday, is because this all happened the day after Easter, which Christians refer to as Resurrection Sunday.
This is amazing to me. I'm looking at her website now, which is nancyconant.com, and you can purchase, I believe, the book on either website,
yeah,
morecabbage.com or nancyconant.com. And I'm looking at the portraits. It's painted portraits of pets and their people. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at this, and these are absolutely amazing. Her gift is just amazing in some of the portraits I took a look at. I'm very impressed with that. Thank you for sharing that story.
Sure.
We have had two amazing guests. We had Rocky Berg. He is a principal of 3 Living Architecture. We just spoke with Chris Conant. He is the president of More Cabbage. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. You can hear all these shows on our website, playmakerstalkshow.com. We'll be back again next Sunday at 4 o'clock, and I will look forward to seeing you then.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Executives and managers, if you would like to make 2013 your quantum leap year, listen closely, because a free workshop, that's right, a free 2-hour peak performance in-house workshop is available right now. Hi, I'm Steve Klein, host of the Playmakers Talk Show here on 570 KLIF, author of Sell When You See the Whites of Their Eyes, and CEO of the Professional Development Center. Which of the following skills from this free peak performance workshop will move your people toward a quantum leap this year? Could it be communication skills, motivating people, strategic planning, decision making or problem solving? How about teamwork, stress management, coaching, leadership skills, or customer service? To get your free 2-hour in-house peak performance workshop for a minimum of 8 key people and to give your business a quantum leap in 2013, call me, Steve Klein, at 972-644-1048. That's 972-644-1048 right now to see if you qualify.
News and information, 570 KLIF. News and information, 570 AM.
96.3 FM HD2. KLIF, Dallas. KSCS FM HD2, Fort Worth. KLIF.com.
A Cumulus station.